you pray with me right now? Pray with me out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me today. In Jesus' name. Now, Father God, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. You minister to us right where we are. Lord, with open ears and an open heart, Lord, we just ask you to talk to us today through your word. And we just give you praise for these things right now. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Amen. We've been talking about, that today will actually be part three. We've been talking about a failed grasp of the big picture. Amen. I got this title a while back, and I've been wanting to preach on this, and I've been holding on to it for a while. But I tell you, after we've got into this, I'm glad I think it's at the right time. For all the things going on in the world, I think it's interesting that we can talk about this. And I think every pastor should always, at least once a year, talk about Bible prophecy a little bit. Because you need to be sober-minded about the return of the Lord. Amen. The Bible talks about how you should be expecting Him. Amen. A lot of people want to make all sorts of predictions. And you know, I'm all for being the armchair quarterback of all this. But I'll tell you what, you really don't know, and I don't really know. But one thing I do know, everything can happen at the drop of a hat. And this whole popsicle stand could just blow over and the trumpet sounds and we're there. Amen. Now next Sunday I want to talk about the rapture. And I want to talk about the words in the Greek and the Hebrew that have to do with that. And I really want to stir you up about that. I don't know if Pastor Matthew and I were talking, we want to call it part four. Maybe. That and I thought about talking about, let the title be, We Shall Not All Sleep. Because some of you are going to be wide awake when the trumpet sounds. Won't that be exciting? Can you imagine within a fraction of a second you see the dead coming up? Within a fraction of a second, all of a sudden you feel yourself coming up too? Woo! And we stand with the Lord in the air. That's going to be an exciting moment, won't it? You ought to be excited about the things of God. You should have a hunger for the things of God. Amen. A lot of people have a lot of notions and ideas, but I wanted to talk to you about what the Word says. So let's run through some things again. C.S. Lewis once said, there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't so, and the second is to refuse to believe what is so. You know, the Bible is the truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth will what? You need to know the truth of the Word. I think now more than ever, like my buddy says, you should be running towards the finish line. You should be running towards the finish line with your hands raised, reaching for that ribbon, running for the prize, because the Master's coming. Amen. The King is coming. You need to be ready. You need to be excited about these things. Amen. You need to be ready. We talked to you about Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. This is from the Amplified. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear and heed. Pay attention to what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, I will grant, and I love this last line, I will grant the privilege to eat the fruit from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Woo! That gets me excited. Amen. Folks, the King is coming back. Amen. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready? We need to be ready. Amen. Well, you know, in today's world, we see the signs pointing towards the return of Jesus. There's turmoil everywhere. Gosh, even at the press corps dinner, troubles everywhere. Things can happen suddenly, can't they? You need to pay attention to that. I don't know if you know, this week Israel went after some things. They took care of some business this week. Not much of it's been on the news at all. But a lot of Hezbollah was wiped out. They're not going to put up with it anymore. They're talking about bypassing the Strait of Hormuz altogether. One country's talking about building another Panama-type canal. Israel's talking about laying pipeline from the Mediterranean all the way to the Persian Gulf all the way to the Mediterranean. Well, that even makes Israel even more valuable. And you know, the prophecy talks about the big bear coming down from the north to take a prize. I believe the big bear is Russia. And we know in the Battle of Armageddon that Russia will be wiped out within a matter of moments. But I believe that everything that points towards the Ezekiel 38 war, I believe that all the players, I know this is a fact, they've all have a handshake military agreement and they've signed treaties to take care of each other militarily. China's involved in that. Russia's involved in that. And someone who's supposed to be, quote unquote, our ally, Turkey, they've signed an agreement with those. You need to pay attention to what's going on. There's very little prophecy left. And Jesus told us when the fig tree buds, Israel becomes a nation, all will be fulfilled in this generation. You need to be expecting his return. You need to be excited about his return. And you need to be telling people about his soon return. Amen. This world, we're seeing events that line up with prophecy left and right. I think the one that I'm looking forward to, and the one that would make me want to really be ready, when Damascus lies in ruins. The Bible prophesies about that, that Damascus will be wiped out. Everybody say wiped out. We hadn't seen that yet. But buddy, when it happens, I think that would set off a whole lot of a sequence of events very quickly. You need to think about these things. Jesus told his disciples that Israel would face hatred from all nations for his namesake. And I think more than ever, we see the devil, Satan, the god of this world, like it reads in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He is working to stir up hatred towards Israel, towards Christianity, in ways that we've not seen in any generation. And I tell you what, aren't you glad that you have the victory over the devil and right now? Amen. You do. Amen. You know, we talked about how the sons of Issachar knew in 1 Chronicles 12:32 about how they knew the days and the times. You should be aware and understood the days and the times in which you live, and you should be aware of it because you read it, you catch it, you understand it. There was a battle that went unnoticed in the press. There's a book out about it. But years ago, people thought this was going to be the Battle of Armageddon. Russia had hidden MiG fighters all up in tunnels and caves in the Middle East. Israel found out about it, and Israel took them all out. This was years ago. And it almost kicked off a sequence of events that would have been devastating to the Middle East. But God revealed it to their intelligence people, and they took care of it. Nobody talks about these things. What about during the Six-Day War, how God showed up? One Israeli tank. One! A whole battlefield of the enemy, all in flames, melted down to the metal, to their tracks. And one Israeli tank comes up over the hill with the Star of David flying. There are things that have been going on that you don't know if you don't pay attention to world events. Amen. I think a lot of the body of Christ has been blinded by things that we do believe in, we want to see happen here in America. But I'm telling you what, Jesus is not an American. Am I shaking you up? I need to. And you're not either. When you get down to it, you're going to be a citizen of heaven. You are right now. This world is going to change so suddenly when the trumpet sounds. Because all of Christianity will be taken off the planet. And the whole world will shake. The Antichrist will reveal himself at that point. Joe Morris talks about all the vultures and carnivorous birds that are in the Middle East right now. When the Battle of Armageddon comes, it talks about in the Bible how they will come pick at their bones and eat their flesh. The cleanup crew, they have talked about 150 different predatory birds are now in the Middle East ready to pick the bones of the enemy soldiers that die. You need to wake up. The Dead Sea has come back to life. Things that have been prophesied about have happening left and right. You need to be excited about this because things are happening. You know, the Bible talks about signs and wonders in the heavens. We've been seeing blood red moons. We've been seeing stars line up as never before. All the planets in sequence. Things are happening. People say, well, that's happened before. Yeah, but you know what? The way the planets have aligned these lately have been things like with the star that was on the birth of Jesus. Those things have lined up that haven't happened for thousands of years now. Signs and wonders in the heavens. Things are happening, folks. We talked to you last Sunday about the devil's influence in this earth. We talked about how now is the time for believers to know what they believe, live what they confess, love people without affirming lies, and speak truth without compromise. That needs to be you and me. Amen. We talked to you about how you need to be sober-minded. You need to be grounded in the Word of God, and you need to be ready. Amen. We had a skit we did on Fire by Night when we worked at Willie George Ministries. It's been on TBN. It was called the, I can't remember, I did it again, I forgot the title, but it was called Being Rapture Ready. They had a tape recorder in the skit, and it blasted this big trumpet sound, and everybody got in position, ready to go, ready to go. Are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready. 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 Let's go. And the trumpet sounds. And it was a sketch. It was meant to be funny. But there should be something sobering to you that you need to be ready. And I talked to you at the end of the service, of the first service, is your lantern lit? I'm telling you, the train's about to pull up to the station. And the conductor's not going to wait around. That horn's going to sound. And we're gone. Are you ready? You should live excited. You should live ready. Man, I scratched my coat. Just kidding. You should be ready. Amen. All right, where are we at? Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. Luke 21:36. I love this verse. I put this in there last night. Watch therefore. You're supposed to be watching and ready. What are you watching for? You should be watching for the things the Word of God talks about. You should be expecting God, expecting Him. You should come to church excited. You should be bringing everybody that you know to church because the days are short. Amen. And I know some people say, well, I've heard all that before. It's different this time, folks. There's prophecies that have been fulfilled that we our elderly ones from yesteryear kept thinking it was it, but here we are, and prophecies that weren't fulfilled then are fulfilled now. You need to be expecting Jesus. Everybody say, I expect. Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted what? Worthy to do what? To escape. You don't want to be here after the trumpet sound. No, buddy. You don't want to be here after the trumpet sounds. You know, Daniel's 70 weeks, 70th week, that 70th week is prophesied about the seven-year tribulation period. And God is going to give Israel Old Testament times one more time for 7 years. Miracles will take place, signs and wonders of biblical proportions that the world hasn't witnessed in a long time will take place after the church is taken off the planet. In fact, the devil's influence on the world system is so evident in so many sectors, from politics to entertainment. And his goal is to bring the world under control of the Antichrist eventually. The Antichrist will be the devil's personal representative in the earth. And this figure, according to Scripture, will present himself as a leader of peace. but will ultimately aim to destroy Israel and set himself up as the ruler of the world. And that's talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Presently, the Antichrist is restrained. He can't show himself. People can speculate all they want, but you're not going to know who he is. You're going to be out of here. That's why you should live expecting Jesus' return. You should live telling other people, man, do you know the Lord? Don't you want to know Jesus? They should see something different about you. Amen. They should see something special in your eyes. They should see something exciting in you. They need to know who Jesus is. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul warns that the day of the Antichrist will not come until the departure happens first. And most scholars agree that the departure refers to the rapture, when Jesus will gather his church to himself, removing believers from the earth before that tribulation period. And once the church is taken off the planet, the Antichrist will be free to reveal himself, his true intentions, and all his plans. And for a brief moment, folks, no Christians will be here. And it will allow the Antichrist to seize control, to take power. And during that time, there'll be 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel that will accept Jesus. And they'll begin to spread the gospel and talk about who Jesus really was, that he's real. That's going to happen. But the important thing I want you to hear today, as we do this last part today, before we talk about the rapture next Sunday, you need to have that grasp of the big picture. Amen. The big picture is the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Amen. And I've already shared this, but Jesus told us in this world you're going to have trouble. But he said, take heart. Don't worry about it. I have overcome. Amen. No matter what's going on in the world right now, aren't you thankful Jesus is taking care of business? Amen. Amen. You need to serve him with all your heart. You need to love him and worship him as you've never worshiped him before. Amen. In Luke 21, as we've shared these scriptures, this is all the scriptures I've been sharing. I encourage you last week, go through and read all these. They're in your handout. But today, let's wrap this up on this part of the message. Jesus encouraged his followers to recognize the signs of the times. And the scripture where I'm talking about is Luke 21. In 1948, it marked the beginning of the end time clock. Jesus indicated that the generation that witnessed the rebirth of Israel would also witness the fulfillment of all end time prophecies, including his return. Can you say amen? See, our mission as a church is to stand firm. Everybody say, I'm standing firm. Amen. Amen. And our mission not only is to stand firm, but our mission is to share the hope of Christ with the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, Paul reminds all of us, you and me, folks, that we should be living godly lives, even though we may have persecution at times. But we must continue steadfastly in the faith, proclaiming the truth, even as the world grows more hostile. And we need to understand, folks, that the Bible talks about the return of Jesus. The Bible describes two events that are going to take place. Number one, the rapture. Everybody say the rapture. You don't hear a lot of preaching about it anymore until lately. It's been powerful. I know Rick Renner's been down in Chattanooga at Perry Stone's ministering about end time events. And there's been some unique things that have been spoken at that conference. But the Bible talks about two distinct events: the rapture, where Jesus comes for his church, and then he talks about the second coming. The second coming, as I've shared with you the last couple Sundays, is when Jesus returns with his church. See, the first time, you'll be called up in the air with him. You'll leave this earth. The second time, whoo, saddle up, lock and load, because we're going to be riding with him. Jesus will be coming back with his church. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will touch down on the Mount of Olives and it'll split in half. And from there, he'll set up his throne and his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years. We talk about it as the millennium. You need to be expecting his return. I don't know about you. I want to be a part. I want to be on my horse too. I want to be riding with him. Amen. My boss, my former boss, he had a song called I'll Be Riding With Him. That's a cool song. At the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 talks about we will meet him in the air. Jesus will gather his church unto himself. And this moment will be sudden. It will be unmistakable. And as believers are caught up to be with the Lord, we'll be with the Lord forever. Amen. A lot of people have been dying and going home. Someone real precious to us died this weekend. Susan, one of my best, no, I shouldn't say one of the best, but Stephen was like my right arm, Stephen Bess. But his sister died and passed away this weekend. They were at every camp, every event we've ever done. I mean, Stephen's the one that... when we cleared out the fill lines at Cleveland Christian Fellowship, we were sucking the fill lines because, for lack of a better word, excrement and everything was overflowing the fill lines at our church. And we wanted to get all this stuff down to the drainage ditch. And we were out there trying to get the siphoning going. And I said, come on, you can do this. So he grabbed hold of me. He says, you know something, James Farmer, I've done a lot for you, but I have never, ever, ever tried to suck poop down a garden hose for you. And we laughed so hard, we laid out there on the ground laughing. But we got it flowing. We got it flowing. We didn't get anything in our mouths, thank God. But his sister went home to be with the Lord, and I have thought and thought about that. I look forward to seeing her again. And, you know, and I say all this because, you know, it's cool if we pass away. I don't know about you, but... can you imagine what it's going to feel like when the trumpet sounds and we leave? Now, I like watching old TV shows. I've been watching Superman lately, the old one, 50s, 1950s. Man, this is something when he just leaps and jumps, you know. He jumps, always leaps out the window at the Daily Planet. And you know there's a big bunch of mattresses outside that window. But just think, when the trumpet sounds one day, you and me, if we're alive and remain, can you imagine what's going to feel like in your body when you leave this planet? It's going to be something to be caught up with him, as the scripture says. You know, after the rapture, God's going to focus and shift his focus back to Israel. He's going to fulfill the 7 years of prophecy that I told you about in Daniel's 70th week. You can read about that in the listing there is Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. This period is known as the tribulation. It'll be a time of intense judgment and turmoil on the earth. And we're talking intense judgment. Intense. Intense. Intense is really not a good word. I think emotionally for people, it'll feel like torture. The fear, the turmoil, the constant wars, all the mess that's going to take place. You don't want to be here for that. We know the Bible talks about how the Antichrist will establish a peace treaty with Israel, only to break it halfway through it, and reveal his true intentions and plunge the world into total chaos. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. But today I want to end with this. What is the role of the church before the end? What's your purpose? What's your role? Well, as believers, We're called to recognize the signs of I've been sharing with you. You're supposed to recognize these signs without fear. If any kind of end time preaching is about fear, it's not good. It should excite you. Jesus coming back, man, that's good news. Amen. In World War II, they thought Hitler was the Antichrist. They skipped their Bible. Skip the part in Thessalonians that you're not going to know who he is. They were all living in fear. But that ended. Israel became a nation not long after that. Then prophecies began to really get fulfilled. But there's going to be so much that's about to happen before that rapture. We should be excited, not living in fear. Jesus told us to not be shaken in our mind. We read that in John 16. Don't be troubled as we see events taking place. Instead, like Esther spoke in Esther 4:14, we should see everything that's taking place right now as an opportunity to witness, knowing that God has chosen you for such a time as this. What we are living in the greatest time of our lives. We are living in the most joyous moments of history. Not the most fearful, not the most panic. We should be excited. My goodness, if he called you to go after a hell with a water pistol, run and do it. The king is coming. The king is coming. We face tribulations in this life. Sure we do. We all go through tough seasons, right? Yeah? Amen. We go through tough moments, tough seasons. But nothing's going to compare to what the tribulation period's going to be like. The challenges we face today as Christians, and I'm going to give you a couple of them real quick. The challenge we face as Christians is social opposition, government resistance, cultural hostility. All of those things are precursors to what's coming. Folks, the worst is yet to come. I said the worst is yet to come. John 16:33, remember Jesus said, in this world you will have what? Trouble, tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, your trials should remind you to rely on God's strength. Anything that you're dealing with right now should remind you how important it is that you share the gospel to those who feel the weight of the world's brokenness. It should remind you how important it is that you tell others. Tribulation is coming. After the rapture, the world will enter a period of unprecedented hardship. Revelations 11, verses 3 through 6 talks about the two witnesses. You all ever heard about that? The two witnesses, most believe it will be Moses and Elijah that will come back and prophesy in Jerusalem. They will display miraculous powers that echo what their Old Testament ministries were. Even more signs and wonders. They will stand as testimonies to God's truth, even as the Antichrist works overtime to deceive every nation that he can. The culmination of this period will be the Battle of Armageddon. Before the trumpet sounds, we'll see everything come in line for the Ezekiel 38 war. I believe the trumpet will sound, and just as that war probably starts, we'll be out of here. That war will end in a matter of moments. The Antichrist will come on the scene. Things are going to go crazy. Then midway through what he had done to deceive nations, it will get so bad, the chaos that will ensue. It'll all come down to one final battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And it's at that point that we're going to come back with Jesus. The church will be taken off at the rapture, but the church will ride back with him in that final battle. Jesus will return to defeat his enemies, and Jesus will establish his millennial kingdom. You read about that in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 21. His feet will touch that Mount of Olives. It'll split in two. He'll reign for 1,000 years. Zechariah 14:4. The kingdom will restore creation to its original purpose. To its original purpose. Fulfilling God's promises to Israel and establishing justice and peace on this earth. What should you do during this time? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You need to live in anticipation. The king's coming back. You ought to be excited about it. I like the way Joe preaches. You know, this morning I was driving in on the interstate, and they had the Bartlett exit blocked off. It said, follow the detours. Well, you know, as a believer, you should know when you're supposed to detour. You should have an understanding and a recognition on the inside. This is it. We're here. And before you get to your exit, you're already making plans to take that exit, aren't you? And when you take that exit, you hit that ramp. And you get all the way to the very end of it. And you're at your destination, or you're going to turn to go to your destination, right? A lot of times as the body of Christ, we look at all the traffic lights. We look at all the caution, all the red lights, and we get all wound up and we get all in fear about life and about everything that's going on. When Jesus wants you to look for those green lights and run to that prize. There's a song Daryl Mansfield put out called The Heaven Southwestern. You want to write it down? I'm a rock and roller at heart. And this is like acid, southern rock, rock and roll. And he's singing about a train that's roaring down the tracks. The tracks have been laid for a long time. The conductor's got it all together, but that train's moving mighty slow. But there's going to come a time when that old engine's going to blow that horn. And all of us who have been following the Lord will begin to head towards that exit. Because we sense in our spirit, it's time. And we'll move towards that exit. Lanterns in hand. Woo! And the train's going to pull up at that station in the clouds. And we're all going to get on. And within moments, everybody will be gone. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure my ticket, if you would, is punched. If you ever get to go to Chattanooga and ride the Tennessee Valley Railroad, the conductor will come walking down the aisles with it. He'll be calling out, tickets! Tickets, please! And you have to hold out your ticket that you paid for, just like they used to do. And he comes around and just like in the old days, he got that little hole puncher. Click, click. He gives your ticket back. That ticket gives you the privilege to sit in that air-conditioned comfort car and ride down those tracks, go through that tunnel that was built during the Civil War, come into the next station. You can watch the engine on the turntable. That's a turntable that was rebuilt from the Civil War. And that turntable will turn that big old Southern Railway equipment, 4501. It'll turn it around. That engine will pull back out. Watching a steam engine move is just a beautiful sight to me. And they'll hook that thing back up to the front of the train again, and we all get back on, and we ride it back to the station. Folks, there's going to come a time when the trumpet sounds and the conductor is going to wave that light. And you better be ready. Because he's coming. You can't stop it. A lot of people want to be armchair quarterbacks and predict the time. There's some of that I kind of like to hear every once in a while. But you know what? It's when he says go. There'll be a moment where the father's going to lean over to Jesus and say, son, it's time. And just like that, everything will happen. Like I told you in the first message, I love that song Gloria Gaither will sing, the King is coming. Are you ready for that? You may be ready today, but is your family ready? Are your grandchildren ready? Are the people you work with ready? Jesus talks about one will be taken, another will be left behind. I don't know about you, but I want to get everybody I can on the train. Because, boy, that's going to be one exciting ride. Y'all ever rode a roller coaster before? Melissa likes riding Goliath. I'd rather do anything in the world than ride Goliath. At Six Flags. You're dropping down a hill, it's so far, you feel like you're going to die. Takes your breath away. But I love going to Six Flags and riding the Mindbender, doing all those multiple loops just with a lap bar on. That's exciting to me. Can you imagine what the trumpet sounds, what it's going to feel like when you leave this world? Mylon had a song called Crack the Sky. Come on and crack the sky. Come on and crack the sky. Come for me. Take me home. There's going to be something so dramatic when that moment happens. I want all of you there. I want to see you with all your family there. Can you imagine the dinner we're going to sit down to together in fellowship? What a joy that will be to be in heaven. And we'll be getting ready to come back. The conductor's waving the lantern, folks. You need to be ready to board. Are you ready? Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 that a crown of righteousness, a crown of righteousness awaits you and awaits me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And even though we see the signs all around us, the Bible encourages you and me to remain steadfast. He reminds us that we should live in anticipation. And as we anticipate His return, you and I are called to live holy lives, sharing His love and truth with those who need it. Why? Because, folks, Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. Our hope is anchored in Christ, who has overcome the world and will soon return to make all things right. But until then, you and I are to keep our eyes fixed on Him, trusting in His promises, boldly proclaiming the gospel to the world that needs His peace. The King is coming. The train's pulling up. Gosh, Mom, my dad, step-parents, grandparents are all up in heaven getting that train ready. My great-grandfather's probably excited about that train too since he worked for Southern Railway all of his life. But it's going to happen, folks, whether you're ready for it or not. I don't know about you, I'd live ready. Jesus is coming soon. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're watching online today, man, wouldn't it be good to know Him? I don't know about you. I want to ride with Him coming back. Man, when that trumpet blows, buddy, I want to be right there. ready to go. He's coming soon. You should expect him. You should live in anticipation. It's real. It's going to happen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the ticket. That's the ticket you want to punch. You ask him into your heart, into your life. You take him as your Lord and your Savior. You live for him. You're a doer of the word. You honor him. Live all your days for him. It's not hard. It's a choice. It's a choice. The choice is smoking or non-smoking. Which one do you want? Hell was set up for the devil, not for you. You need to know Jesus as Lord of your life. And it's so easy to do. You believe he came, that he walked this earth, that he bled and died for you. You believe that he was raised from the dead. And you ask him into your heart. We'll pray with you right now. If you're watching online, pray out loud with me. If you're here today, we're all going to pray together. If you're here today and have not made that decision, make it right now. Church, let's pray together. In the name of Jesus, I come before you. I believe that Jesus came. He walked this earth. Your only Son. He bled and died for me and was raised from the dead. I believe that. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new. From this moment forward, I will live all of my days for you. I'll honor you. I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. Amen and amen.